Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Today is week three of Sticks and Stones. Sticks and Stones is a series we started 2 weeks ago. And if you haven't been here for one of the weeks, where you been? We missed you. But let me quickly kind of recap where we've been. Let me tell you, if you have missed one of our weeks, one of the best things you can do is to visit this website right here, wellspringchurch.tv/sticksandstones. We're putting every single week of the series up there. And I'd really encourage you to go back and check it out if today interests you, if you think today could be helpful for you, because a lot of our series kind of build on each other, but this one's even more critical than the rest in that we talked about very big issues week one and week two, and we're kind of picking up right here week three. If you did miss, I'm going to quickly recap where we've been, and then we're going to charge headlong into week three. If you haven't been a part of this series, what we've been talking about are our words, specifically talking about the power of our words, and trying to handle our words in a way that God would want us to handle them. See, at Wellspring, we believe that God's way is best, that anything we do, if we do it God's way, it's going to result in the best life possible for us. And that specifically comes to the way we speak to each other, the way we communicate with each other. And here's the really cool thing about this series and about our words. What I promised you week one, and what I tell you is true, is that when we allow God to change the way we communicate with each other, when we try to use our words the way God would want us to use those words, what we find is that not only do our words improve, but our life improves. Because I believe it will make your relationships better. It will make your marriage better. It will make your relationship better with your children, your relationship better with your parents. Your friendships will get better. If you're a boss, you'll be better able to lead your employees. If you're an employee, you'll be better able to relate to your boss. This series and this content has the power to change every aspect of your life if you will allow it to. And so that's why we're doing this series. In week one, we kind of opened the series talking about our words, talking about the power of our words. And I really challenge you to kind of become aware of how powerful your words were, how much weight your words carried. And what we said is when it comes to our words that we have to respect their power before we can use them properly. We really have to respect the power of words. And you know how powerful words are because other people's words have haunted you for your entire life. But as we said week one, this series isn't about other people's words. It's about our words. Because the only people we can change is us. Right? We can't really worry about what other people do. We have to worry about what we do. And we started talking about how powerful our words were and how much weight they had. Last week, we discovered why our words have so much weight. And the reason our words have so much weight is because our words reveal what we seek to conceal. Words reveal the dark hearts of our spirit, the dark hearts of our soul. They reveal the secrets that we don't want to get out. They reveal the anger and bitterness that we're trying to hide. They reveal the unforgiveness. They reveal the jealousy. They reveal the hurt. They reveal the pain that we have not dealt with, that we have not allowed to be healed. It's why you find yourself in a fight and you say things and you regret them. Because you were trying to conceal those emotions. You were trying to conceal those things, and they come out through our words. We learned this last week. From a story from the life of Jesus. But what we also learned is that we don't have to live that way. See, our words reveal what we seek to conceal, but there's hope. And the hope is that the light will heal what we choose to reveal. Jesus is the light. And this pain that we have inside of us, this hurt, this heartache that we think we just have to deal with for the rest of our life, what Jesus said last week is like, I can heal it. I can actually take that from you. I can take it away. I can make you feel better. I can heal you if you would just open yourself up to me. And that's what I challenged you to do last week. I challenged you to not let it go. I challenged you to lay it down, to lay down your struggles, to lay down your heartache, to lay down your pain, to lay it at Jesus' feet and to invite him in to begin healing you from the inside out, because that is the only way you're ever going to be able to start dealing with your words, with the weight of your words, and with the pain they can cause. So that's where we ended last week. That's where we left. And like I said, I'd encourage you to go back and check out those messages if you missed it. But what we're going to do today is we're going to kind of pick up right there, and we're going to take the next logical step forward. See, the last 2 weeks have really been about inside. They've been about dealing with ourselves. They've been about getting ourselves the right way, getting ourselves open before God so he can begin to heal us from the inside out. But now I want to talk about what happens when we go out into the world with this approach to life, with this approach of having to try to clean ourselves, this approach of trying to say, hey, my words have weight, my words have value. I want to talk to you today about what do we do when we're out in the world and we find ourselves in a situation with someone who isn't trying as hard as we are, which you'd all be like, well, that's everybody, right? But when you find yourself in a situation, because you will find yourself in this situation, it doesn't matter how hard you pray, it doesn't matter how open you are to Jesus, you are going to find yourselves in situations where things are going to get tense, where things are going to get heated, where emotions are going to run high. You are still going to find yourselves in tense situations with your spouse and with your kids and with your boss and with your employees and maybe even with strangers. Hopefully not, but you never know. And so what I want to do today is I want to give you a plan. I want to give you some principles. I want to give you a guideline that I believe if you apply in your life, that not only can you begin to change yourself from the inside out, you can also begin to be able to navigate those situations in a much better way than you navigate them right now. Because here's what I know about you, and I know it about you because I know it's true about me. When I find myself confronted with a tense situation, there is a 98.7% chance I'm going to handle it poorly. Right? Come on. Probably 100. You know, it's just kind of how we are. We are wired. And what I want to do today is I want to give you an alternative. And it's not an alternative that I have. It's an alternative that God gives us. Everything we've been talking about in this series are God's ideas for how we should handle life and specifically how we should manage our words. And today we're going to look at a teaching from a man named James. Now, James is a very unique individual in the Bible. James was an early church leader. James actually led the first church in Jerusalem. But for those of you who don't know, James was also Jesus's little brother. Just let that sink in. If your parents ever talk to you about how great your older sibling is, imagine being James. If Mary looked at James and said, "Why can't you be like your brother?" James's answer was, "Because he's God." Just think about that. And for those of you who kind of doubt the Bible and doubt the story and doubt that Jesus actually died and came back to life, there's a lot of people who think Jesus was a good guy. Maybe he didn't die and come back to life. Again, I present to you James, Jesus's little brother. He is the most compelling evidence I have that Jesus died and came back to life. Because what else would your brother have to do to convince you to tell the world he was God and that he was perfect? He'd have to die and come back to life, right? That's about it. And that happened in James's life. And so what many of the church leaders did is they would write letters. They would write letters to teach people, and James wrote a letter. He wrote a letter to Christians to explain to them how to be Christians. See, they didn't have the Bible like we did. They just had Jesus' teaching, and then people had to pray and had to hear from Jesus. And what we believe is that God was speaking through James when James wrote this letter almost 2,000 years ago. And we can read the letter now. We know what God wants us to do in our life. And wouldn't you know it, but James talks about this very issue. In his letter, he talks about our words. He talks about the power of our words. And he gives us a principle. He gives us a guide. He gives us a framework to say, when you find yourselves in a situation where someone is heated, where someone is angry at you, when you find yourself in a situation where your natural tendency is to get mad and to fight, do this instead. And so what I want to do today is I want to show you what James says we should do instead. And then I'm going to ask you a simple question. Do you think this would be better? And if it would, I'm going to encourage you this week to try what James suggests. So, if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to the book of James. James is near the end of the New Testament. If not, it's going to be up on the screen just like always. And here's what James says in James 1, starting in verse 19. And he introduces this passage in a very interesting way. Here's what he says. First words out of his mouth. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. What he's saying is, he's saying, look, I need you to think about what I'm going to say. I need you to work really hard to try to comprehend what's about to come out of my mouth. Because if you don't try really hard, you're going to dismiss what I'm saying. You're going to dismiss it because it's going to sound too difficult. You're going to dismiss it because it doesn't sound practical. You're going to dismiss it because it is the exact opposite of what you naturally want to do. So, dear brothers and sisters, James is saying, please work really hard to understand what I'm about to say. Think really hard about what I'm about to say. Really ask yourself if this would be better. So he says, when you find yourselves in situations that are tense, when you feel like you're about to fight, I want you to understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. Here's what he says. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. You can laugh if you want, because I know it sounds ridiculous. You all must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. That's why your mama taught you. You got two ears and one mouth on purpose. So you need to listen twice as much and speak. Was my mom the only one who said that to me? So what James is saying, he's saying, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. When you find yourselves in a fight, when you find yourselves walking into that moment, no. Be quick to listen. Be slow to speak. And be slow to get angry. And you may say, James, why? That's so hard. Why would you do that? Well, James tells us. He says this, human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. I'm going to go back and read that again. Human anger, what? Does not produce. So I know some of you kind of think you go through life with righteous anger. James is saying, nope. Because you know who has righteous anger? God. You know who's not God? You. He's saying, look, the entire way you approach conflict, the entire way you approach these disagreements is wrong. Because you're approaching them out of anger. You're approaching them out of human anger. And it does not produce the righteousness, does not produce the results, does not produce the actions, does not produce the life God wants for you and for me. That is a promise from God. That is a principle from God. Human anger does not produce the results God wants. And you're like, Trey, but it feels so good sometimes. It just feels so good to get angry and to yell. But does it? Does it? Yelling feels good for about 10 seconds. But you can regret it for 10 years. You ever notice that? You ever been in a fight and that thing popped in your head and before you even filtered it, it came out and it felt so great in that moment. But now looking back, you'd give anything in the world to take it back. You'd give anything in the world to have unsaid what you said, and you could apologize and apologize and apologize and apologize, but you can't unsay what you said. And what James is trying to say is he's saying, you know the way you've handled it doesn't work. You know fighting back doesn't work. It's what I do. When someone comes at me, man, when someone wants to fight, I'm like, let's go. You know, and I like to win. So you bring a knife to the fight, I bring a tank. You know, I have been gifted with a very good memory. I speak for a living. So if you fight with me, as you're speaking, all I'm doing is loading up. And I just wait. I don't listen. I'll wait to speak, baby. And as soon as you're done, ready, fire! And I tell you the 35 reasons why I'm right and you're wrong, and you know it. Before we're done, I've convinced you you're wrong. My poor wife, she ain't even trying anymore. She's like, I give up. Fine. That's how we go, man. That's how I get. Now, real quick. My nature is to be aggressive. You know, we talked about fight or flight last week. I'm a fight. I'm going to come at you. You're going to be able to see my anger. Some of you in the room identify with me. You can see your anger. Others of you have another trick you play. So let me just remind you, passive aggressive is still aggressive. You're still doing it out of anger. Even if what you're saying is, you're right. I know. I'm the worst. I'm always wrong. Everything I do is terrible. I'm awful. You're right. I'm wrong. Blah, 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 blah. Right? So don't hide today behind the whole, well, I don't do, I don't scream, I don't yell. Yeah, but you still get mad. you're still slow to listen, quick to speak, and quick to get angry. So what James is really trying to say is he's saying, look, when you're confronted with these situations, you don't realize it, but you have a choice. And the choice you make in the moment is going to dictate how you respond to the situation, and it's going to dictate whether you can actually handle it properly or whether you end up doing things you will regret for the rest of your life. And the choice James presents is this. He's saying, when things get heated, we can choose to be curious or furious. We can choose one, but we can't choose the other. And if you choose one, it's going to make it nearly impossible for you to actually run to the other. So before we even go on, what would happen? What would happen if the next time you find yourself in a situation that's tense, the next time you find yourself in a situation where someone accuses you of something, where your spouse says, we need to talk, while you're trying to watch the football game? Isn't that the worst? Sorry. She's not in here this hour, so I can say whatever I want. What would happen is when you feel attacked, when you feel the tension rising, when you feel it coming on, if you were like, whoa, wait a minute. I can choose in this moment. I can choose to be curious. I can choose to be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to get angry. Or I could choose to be furious in this moment. I can choose to react in my own flesh. Well, we all know what happens when you try this way. What would happen, you think? What would happen if you tried the other way? Do you think it would be better? That's why James says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. Think about this. As you think about that, let me give you some tools. Because just saying be curious doesn't really help, right? Let me explain to you what I mean by that. Let me explain to you how I think you could be curious. There's really three questions I think you could ask in that moment. Ask of yourself, ask of your spouse, ask of your brother, ask of your sister, ask of your boss, ask of the employee, ask of whoever in that moment that I think will drive you towards curious and will keep you from being furious in that moment and will allow you to handle that situation much better. All right, so how do we choose curious? How do we choose to ask the right questions? Very simple. Number one, choose to be curious by asking, what are they saying? What are they saying in this moment? What is their face saying? What is their tone saying? What's actually being communicated behind the tone? See, the goal here, when James is saying is be quick to listen, what he's really saying is be quick to understand. Seek to understand what's actually happening in this moment. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Give them some grace that they may not be the most eloquent communicator. Give them some grace that maybe they handled it properly. Spouses, maybe your spouse has a problem with being a little too blunt and direct. This is a problem with which I am personally familiar. I don't have a lot of tact in me. I just tend to say it. You know, maybe your spouse is that way, right? And they say something and you know it's true, but the way they said it hurt your feelings. Well, you have a choice in that moment. You can choose to be curious and say, now what are they actually saying here? You can seek to understand, or you can choose to let the tone make you furious. But if you do that, you're never going to be able to find progress. So what I'm suggesting is be the bigger person and step back in the moment and say, okay, what's actually going on? What are they saying? Is this a situation where it's a good product, but it's in bad packaging? See, we're all familiar with good products and bad packaging. If you have kids and you've ever tried to buy them like a toy car or a doll or something, and it comes in that cardboard box with 8 billion twist ties on it, you know, and like you just want to kill people by the time it's taking it out. You know, it's a good product, but it's in bad packaging. If you ever ordered anything from Amazon and it comes with the impenetrable sheet of plastic that you literally have to go get like a tank to open, you know what I'm talking about? That's a good product, but it's in bad packaging. But you don't throw the product away because it's in bad packaging. You just get the product, you get the packaging open, you go then repent because you've lost your temper 5 times, and then you use it. What would happen if the next time someone approached you with a good product but in bad packaging because they had bad tone, they had a bad approach, they didn't handle it the right way, they said it kind of all offhanded, they made a sarcastic comment, but you know at the end of the day there's really something going on inside. What if you just chose, I'm not going to be furious, I'm going to be curious? Why'd you say that? What's actually going on? Everything okay? Because see, here's what you would discover. There might be a hurt that needs to be healed. But you'll never know if you choose furious. But if you choose curious, then you can actually heal rather than harm. You can ask the question, man, okay, you said that, and man, there's a lot of tension and stress. I hear that. Help me understand what's going on. Help me. I'm not even going to mention the tone. Don't say that. This is what you say in your head. In your head, say, I'm going to ignore the tone because I'm curious. What's going on? What's happening here? Did they have a bad day at work? Or is this something that happened? I don't know, but I love them, and I'm curious. Because if I'm curious, then I actually have a chance to cure it. If I'm furious, all we're going to do is fight. And knowing me, I'm probably going to cause more damage. So what would happen? What would happen if you simply chose to be curious? If you simply chose to say, what are they saying? What's actually going on? What's driving this? What's going on inside of them? And how can I help it? And you start just curious for 5 seconds. It's curious until you figure it out. This is hard work. This is why James says, really think about this. Really understand this. Really think through the value of this. But is there anybody in the room who thinks you'd make it worse by choosing curious rather than furious? By simply asking, what are they really saying? That's question number one. What are they saying? Now, question number two, you're going to think the same thing, but it's not. Question number two is this. What am I hearing? How many of you know there's a difference between what they say and what you hear? You're like, not me. Yes, there is. There is. What are they saying is about them. What am I hearing is about me. Because there's something that happens in our brains that you don't even think about because it's so common, it's been happening your entire life. But your brain is the narrator of your life. Your brain comments on your life. Your brain comments on what other people do in your life. See, you think someone says something and you respond. That's not true. Someone says something, your brain comments on what they said, and then you respond on what the brain commented on. They say something, your brain then comments on it and assigns a motive to it, and then you react to the motive. You don't even react to what they said, and typically we assign a bad motive and we get angry about it. Especially if they have a bad tone, or if it's a topic we've talked about before, or if it touches a nerve with us, we come back and we are not quick to listen, we are not slow to speak, and we are not slow to get angry. So what would happen is if when you find yourself in a heated situation, if you not only said, what are they saying, if you said, what am I hearing? What's actually going on? Let me give you an example from my life, because the best way to understand this is to think back to some of your previous fights. So I will share with you a fight my wife and I had about a month ago, and this is a real fight we really had. It was a Friday afternoon, and we were talking about a future financial decision we had to make. It was a purchase we were talking about. It would have been a sizable purchase, and we were talking about whether or not we were going to do it or not. And in the middle of the conversation, my wife asked a 100% valid, 100% innocent question. Here's what she said. Can we afford it? She asked that question. That's what she said. It's not what I heard. What I heard, you are a terrible provider for our family. You are a financial moron. That's what I heard. Is it what she said? Absolutely not. Is it what I heard? You bet. Guess what I reacted on? What I heard. And we fought. And she was like, I don't understand why we're fighting. I asked a question. And I'm like, we're fighting because you don't think I do a good job taking care of our family. Blah, 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 blah. It was just ridiculous garbage. See, what happened was that tapped into an insecurity I have. It's an insecurity I think many men have, many breadwinners have. Am I doing a good job for taking care of my family? Does my family feel like they have to have financial concerns, or have I doing a good enough job where they don't have to worry about it? She wasn't worried. She was simply asking me a question. It was a completely valid, perfectly rational, perfectly wise question. But I heard something else. And if I had been quick to listen and slow to speak, and had examined my own motives and said, whoa, 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 I just heard that. But that's not at all what she said. That's not at all what she meant, because I know her, and she doesn't think that about me, and she doesn't mean things like that about me. See, one of the ways we ask, what am I hearing, is to ask, what story am I telling myself about what they just said and did? And one of the best ways to know you're telling the right story is to ask, what story would I want them to tell themselves about me? Because now the story changes, right? Now the story is full of understanding. And now the story is full of wisdom and of logic and of seeing the other side's point of view. So what would happen, do you think? What would happen, as James says, understand this, think about this. What would happen if in the middle of a confrontation, in the middle of a fight, in the middle of all this, you were to come to your senses and say, whoa, I want to be quick to listen here. I want to be curious. What are they saying? I want to be curious. What am I hearing? What's actually going on in this moment? What's pushing me towards this? What am I hearing in this situation? What do you think would happen? Do you not think your fights would be less painful and more productive? Do you not think you might stop having the same fight over and over and over and over again? James does. That's why he suggests it. I do. That's why I'm teaching it. The challenge is, will you embrace it? Will you think about it? Will you allow it to change you from the inside out? And when you find yourself in a situation, will you choose curious? By asking, what are they saying? By asking, what am I hearing? And then one more crucial question that I really don't think it works without asking this question. Here's the third one. Third one is this. What is Jesus saying? See, this is the spiritual component. And see, what you're doing with this is you're inviting Jesus into this moment. You're inviting Jesus into your struggle. You're inviting Jesus into your fight. You're inviting, as we said last week, the light of Jesus into your darkness. And when you invite him in, he's able to bring an internal perspective. And he's actually able to do things like change you from the inside out and calm your heart and bring perspectives to you. You know, I said this last hour. I mean, you know, I have three sons, and especially with David, my oldest, it's very bad. My natural tendency is to, when things get heated, is to just kind of yell. And it's a terrible idea. And when I ask this third question, what is Jesus saying, it really prevents that. Because Jesus goes out of his way to explain to us that God is our Heavenly Father. And Jesus, through his servant Paul, tells us that we are to parent our children as God parents us. And I don't know about you, but God's never yelled at me, ever. God's never screamed at me in anger. And so when I choose to be curious in the moment and say, hey, what's actually going on? What am I feeling? What would Jesus say about this moment? I invite him in to the moment. I invite his truth into my life. An amazing thing happens when we begin to choose these things. An amazing thing happens when we try to be curious in the moment. When we actually try to trick our brains into reversing the process it started. As we said last week, when tension arises, we go into fight or flight, right? Fight or flight happens. Our adrenal glands start pumping a bunch of adrenaline into our body. Our brain thinks we're about to have a fight or go into a flight. It pushes the blood from specifically our decision-making center of our brain into our extremities to get ready to go, right? This is one of the reasons we don't have a filter. This is one of the reasons we say things we regret. Well, guess what? When we follow James's advice, when we, in the moment, force ourselves to be curious, force ourselves to ask the questions we're talking about, force ourselves to say, what are they saying? What am I hearing? What is Jesus saying? When we make that conscious decision, guess what happens? The decision-making center of our brain gets reactivated, and it starts demanding blood. And so our body's like, okay, fine, and it starts pumping the blood back into our brain. It starts clearing out the adrenaline. Our heart rate lowers. Our blood pressure drops. Our pulse lowers. We get calmer. We get clearer-headed, and we're able to make rational decisions because we've overridden the automatic response. By making a choice, by saying, no, I'm going to choose to ask these questions. I'm going to choose to be curious in this moment. We trick our brains, we trick our bodies into reversing fight or flight. It's almost like we were created by a loving Savior who created us perfectly and knew we were going to have a hard time managing some of the ways he created us. So he gave us an instruction manual that we could read. And if we just simply apply the instruction manual to our life, then the whole thing works properly. It's almost like God had this whole thing planned from the beginning. It's crazy. It's almost like he knew your natural reaction was going to be to get mad. It's almost like he knew your natural reaction was going to get angry. And he said, okay, I'm going to give them the exact opposite. I'm going to give them the very perfect formula that if they just trust, if they just apply, if they just obey, they will never have to worry. And they'll never have to live with the regret of the things they can't take back. See, because what James is really doing is making us a promise, and it's a promise from God. And it's a promise that when we find ourselves in these situations, we simply must make the right choice. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, when we choose curious, that we won't get furious. When we choose compassion over combat, there is no stopping what God can do to you and through you. So the question is, which do you choose? So James says, understand this. Think about this. Which one do you choose? And of course, sitting here right now, everyone would choose curious. No one can argue with this logic. No one can argue with the fact that this would be better. So why is it so difficult? Why is this not something that comes natural to us? Well, that brings us to really the crux of our message. Because I wasn't completely honest with you at the beginning. When James says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, he was saying, yes, you got to think this through. He was saying, yes, you have to really focus on this. But what he was also saying is, you've got to understand that there's a key component to this entire process. And without it, you have no hope. See, this message and this series and this church has very little interest in behavior modification. I have very little interest in coming in here and me just telling you how to act better, how to be better, and you go out and just try to act better and be better. If you ever study the life of Jesus, Jesus was not interested in behavior modification. Jesus was interested in internal transformation. And they are very, very different things. Jesus didn't come to say, stop acting selfish. He came and said, stop being selfish. And I can move in you and I can stop you from being selfish. Well, what we're talking about here today, we're talking about this idea of this communication piece. He's not saying, I want you to stop acting furious. He's saying, I want you to stop being furious. He's saying, I want you to be curious. I want this curiosity to be a natural outflow of your love for other people. I want it to be a natural outflow of your desire to help other people, of your desire not to win the fight, but to make it right. And the only way that's going to happen, what James says, is when we base our entire life on Jesus. That's why he said, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You all must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. In verse 21, he says this, so get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. He's saying, yes, this is a great concept. This is a plan, but this plan doesn't work without the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, and that power comes from planting God's word in your heart and in your soul. It's just like we said last week, Jesus is the key. Jesus is the key to choosing curious. A relationship with Jesus, a faith in Jesus, a relationship where you open yourself up, like we said last week, to clean you from the inside out, to actually help you forgive, to help you overcome your bitterness and your jealousy and your anger, to heal you from that. To have a relationship that when it says planted in your heart, that just means deciding that Jesus is the king, Jesus is the leader of my life. And the way it grows is by following that, is by believing that, is by being a part of a church, being a part of a circle, putting it into practice in your life on a daily basis. And the amazing thing, I love the picture of growing, because as our relationship with God grows, it says it grows in our heart. Well, as it grows, it fills up, and the junk that's in there, it pushes out. And as our relationship with God grows, it makes it easier for us in the moment to control our emotions, to control our temper, to not act in our emotions, but to act on our emotions. And to say, you know what, I'm going to choose in this moment. I'm not going to choose furious here. I'm going to choose to be curious because I love this person. I don't need to fight. I don't need to win. I want to understand what's happening. what is going on in this moment. And what James is saying is that when we have our heart and our lives built on Jesus, and when we do it in His strength, that this promise holds true, that when we choose curious, we won't get furious. When we choose to ask these questions we talked about, when we choose in the moment to say, hey, what are they saying? What's actually going on here? What am I hearing? What story am I telling myself? And Jesus, what are you saying in this moment? What's happening? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to react right now? By simply choosing curious, we can avoid furious. And we can bring healing instead of harm. Now, last question and we're done. If there's any person in this room who can honestly say, you know what? The way I'm handling it is great. I'm 100% happy with the results. This doesn't seem like it would work. In fact, this would make it worse. If there's anybody who really thinks this would make it worse, by all means, ignore everything I've said. But if there's anybody in the room that would think, you know what, this would make it better. It sounds really difficult, but this would make it better. This would be better. My relationship with my spouse, with my kids, with my parents, with my boss, with my neighbor, with my friend, they would be better if I could do this. If I could choose curious over furious, my relationships would be 100% better. If that's you, it's very simple. Try it. Just try it this week. Just rest in the promise that we've received from the God of the universe. When we find ourselves in tension, when we find ourselves in conflict, we want to use our words to hurt. Remember, when we choose curious, we won't get furious. It won't happen. So as we close with this song, I want you to listen to the words, because the words are all about how Jesus makes things possible in our lives. And how through the power of Jesus we can do anything. And for some of you, this seems out of reach today, but I want you to know, through the power of Jesus, anything is possible. We sang earlier about miracles happening. When you don't do what you want to do, but instead do what Jesus has told you to do, and the results are better afterwards, that is a miracle. That is a supernatural event where you chose to follow heaven rather than yourself. So don't belittle what God has done and is doing in you and through you. And know that the same God that did those things can do this. He can change your patterns. He can set you free from destructive behaviors. He died to prove it. And He came back to life as an example. If He can raise Himself from the dead, He can change your temper. But you have to invite Him in. So as we sing this song, I just ask you to sing the words and to pray and to ask God to give you the courage and the strength this week to walk out of here changed, to walk out of here determined, to choose curious, to seek to understand what's going on, and watch as God uses you to not only change your life, but to transform the lives of those around you as you bring healing rather than harm to the situation. He's ready to do it. He's ready to change. You just have to put it into practice. Let me pray for you. Father, we love you so much. God, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Your word is so clear. We thank you. Your word is so practical. We thank you that something as simple as our conversation, something as simple as how we talk with each other, how we argue, that you have something to say about that. So, Father, I pray today that you will let us all leave this place with this seed in our hearts, that we will choose curious over furious, that we would choose to understand rather than to retaliate, that we will rest in your Son and know that He can change us from the inside out. Father, I pray that you radically change our conversations this week, you change our fights this week. And I pray that you just make it so clear how much better it is to follow you, that we have no choice. As James says, may we understand this Your way is better. It's in your son's name we pray.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.